Hey guys, welcome back to the Steep Stuff Podcast. I'm your host, James Lariello, and today we've got a banger of an episode for you in episode 6. I'm really excited to have on Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson, otherwise known as the Colorado Springs running guy, according to his Instagram, is the cross-country strength and conditioning coach at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and he also owns a personal training business in the greater Colorado Springs area. The dude is an absolute encyclopedia of knowledge, and we had a really interesting conversation. I think this was one of the longest podcasts I've had so far, so we really got into some really fun nuts and bolts about running, about movement, about mobility. And we also really dove deep into Jeff's personal story as well and his journey that he's been on thus far. Give it up. I hope you guys give it up for this one. Hope you guys really enjoy this episode. Jeff Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
Kind of like, you know, just build up from there. Yeah. So you training for anything these days, or are you just?
So right now I'm doing track races.
Okay.
I just did the USATF Masters National Meet in Chicago.
Okay.
And I did the 800.
Damn, son.
So it's kind of funny because in July I'll do a 50K.
what are you racing then? What 50K?
The Pikes Peak one.
Okay.
And I'll do the Ascent for the third time in a row.
Okay.
This year too. And I've done two marathons. They've both been in the past like year and a half. But I like doing track season. Now that I'm healthy again, I've got a interesting running story. But
yeah. All right. Well, we'll get into it. Dude, we're live, everybody. Jeff on the podcast. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, man. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell the world who you are?
Yeah. Full name's Jeff Wilson. I moved to Colorado Springs 11 years ago this July.
What?
Actually, the day of the race we were just talking about, Pikes July 27th. So my 11th year anniversary will be when I'm running a 50K. So that's fun. Let's see. I moved here from Michigan. I went to Saginaw Valley State for undergrad there.
Okay.
From 2006 to 2011. I grew up in Livonia, which probably will mean nothing to people listening, but
dude, I know where Livonia is, man.
I guess you'll remember. Yeah. Gosh, what is that? 45 minutes west of Detroit.
Yeah.
Nice area, but grew up loving Michigan sports, Detroit sports. Hey, the Lions actually had a season.
For once. Are you a Michigan fan?
Yeah.
Big Michigan fan.
Go blue.
Yeah, I'm excited. Dude, this was the year, man. We finally,
I know,
finally got over the hump, made it to the mountaintop, and we'll see where things go from here. But
yeah,
finally.
I know. I'm excited we just got back to there. Like, even I it would have been disappointing if Harbaugh left.
Yeah.
And let's say we'd even gone, if we'd gone to the championship game, but it's at the same time we finally got back to here.
Yeah.
And like, I'd say long story short, I've been bummed about how it's basically been Ohio State and Michigan Penn State dribbles in there a little bit, and like a couple teams have like a season or two, but it's like, you look at the ACC and the SEC and all that stuff, and it's just like, gosh, like we can't
compete. Couldn't get over the hump.
I mean, was it 2013 was Ohio State, or 2015 or something like that?
Yeah.
And then 97.
It's been a while. And you know, the Big Ten is consistently competitive, if you will. Like,
yes,
you said, you got Penn State in the mix, and now it's going to be crazy with Oregon and Washington in the mix.
That's true.
But
I forgot about that.
But man, fuck Ohio State. I'm so happy. I'm so happy we did it, and we
yes,
we kind of finally got over the hump.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But now basketball took a hit.
Yeah, you know, dude, I'm excited for the new coach though, the Dusty May. So he's from my alma mater, FAU.
Really?
So I went to undergrad at FAU, and it's kind of wild to think that anybody, I mean, not to shit on FAU, but like when I was there, we were a small Sun Belt school, right?
Yeah.
So barely a D1 institution and limited budget. And it's kind of wild to think now that he took that school and got to the NCAA tournament twice. That is wild. So the fact that he's going to go to Michigan now with a giant budget, he's going to get all kinds of recruits. I'm excited for it.
Well, you know, I'll be honest. I don't know how I missed that. I mean, I guess I've just been paying attention to March Madness.
You know what? My fiance's brother is obsessed. He went to Michigan.
Okay.
Shout out to Joey. And he sends me, I must get 5 updates a day from from what's going on between MGo blog and everything. Like, he's sending me all kinds of swanky Wolverine stuff. And yeah, so he keeps me in the know. And he's also giving me updates on like what's going on with like football recruiting and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, he keeps me updated, to say the least.
Nice. So, well, anyway, Michigan sports, all that stuff. Red Wings are back. I love that stuff. I'm a big hockey fan. I grew up playing hockey.
Okay, okay.
And then I started running in 7th grade. My dad was a runner.
Sweet.
I started sprinting, actually. I mean, the first thing I did was cross country, but I liked it. I will say I liked it, but I loved the 100 and the 400. And I wouldn't say I was like phenomenal at it, but I mean, middle school, I split 12.5 and 100 and, wow, you know, went close to 60 flat. So I thought that's where I was going.
Okay.
And then we switched schools. That's when we moved to South Lyon.
Okay.
And it was a very distance heavy program. And I just immediately went to the mile. And then now looking back and all the training knowledge I know, I wish I would have had a little different influence in the like 400, 800 category.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I definitely...
Did you compete at the mile for a while? Or?
Yeah. I mean, it was basically my... Like, I did the 800... but not like trained for it. And you know how high school, like it's just a lot of short stuff. It's a lot of short speed and you race a boatload. And I don't know how many events I ran in high school, but there was so many 3-4 event days.
Jesus.
You know, where it's just like, I mean, you're young, so it's part of like your training, but at the same time, I wish I would have known what I know today.
Right.
And because when I went to a school at Saginaw Valley, my training, gosh, the team was really good, but we had no direction for 2 years. And before that, and our team yet was still one of the top teams in the nation. We just ran hard.
Okay.
So I came in from a good high school program, but I was one of those guys. I needed the coach relationship and stuff. And it just, we didn't have that. So I kind of got a little bit lost in some of my classmates just took off because they had nothing in high school.
It seems like, some guys catch on, and it's so interesting to me because you see a lot of athletes come in. I think like Adam Peterman's a great example. Are you aware of who Adam is?
I think so.
Ran for the Buffs, ran to Colorado. His backstory is just very interesting. I can't remember if he was steeplechaser. I can't remember what he specifically did. He kind of got lost in the mix. I mean, granted, the Buffs are one of the best D1 programs in the world, or in the country, sorry. Kind of got lost in the mix, comes out, walks into the ultra world, and just is a total world beater, right?
Oh, right.
You know, so it's just interesting to me how so much talent goes into the NCAA system and what people, so, you know, especially how that translates into the trail world and how people kind of come out. Some people flourish and some people, you know, kind of sink in a lot of ways.
So, right, yeah. Right. But yeah, I guess to finish more about me, when I moved out here, I moved to start coaching with the men's team at UCCS.
Yep.
So this is my finishing 11th year. I started right away there. And I went to grad school in the sports medicine and strength conditioning program. And that lasted till August 2015. And I wasn't sure if I was going to stay here or not, but then they offered me to do an assistant, like past the graduate assistant level and stuff. They offered me a position then. And then I just was trying to piece together my career.
Okay.
And then eventually personal training started, basically I kind of just present itself more. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd ever do that, but I knew I would run coach. And that was the original goal.
Okay.
Was to college coach. But then I realized I didn't want to leave here. And I still at the time had a lot of personal running pursuits, but due to some history, which we may or may not talk about.
Yeah,
today,
yeah, we can get into it.
I was fighting an unhealthy body, mm-hmm. pretty much from 24 to I would argue till a couple years ago.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. I mean, I kind of read about it on your website and stuff like that before. Did you? Okay. Yeah. And it's really interesting to me. So we'll finish your backstory and then we'll dive into it. I think it's important. I think it's really interesting because I think a lot of people are battling with autoimmune diseases and things like that. So it's something definitely interesting to get into.
So I get the last like couple things I'd say, and I think the rest will kind of come naturally. Because I wanted to run coach, and then I kind of diverted, and I was like, okay, I don't want to move cities. And I didn't even really like look at it as, oh, I'll just wait for the head coach to leave. You know, we've been working together this whole time. I don't see him leaving for a long time at all. I just like, all right, I like doing the strength training stuff. And I basically started that here. And then I was like, okay, I can do that while building my own life. Mm-hmm. And then that's basically what's happened. So now my goal with runners is to teach people that strength training is necessary for performance as well as then longevity and health. Gotcha. And I think often, especially runners, we get so into our heads, and it's been so, there's, I don't know, gosh, how many decades since maybe the 70s when it started to boom, there really wasn't much knowledge of any kind understandable. But even by the 90s, I mean, gosh, you had like Oregon's team and like CU's team and a few others and stuff that kind of lifted, but it wasn't a thing. And it wasn't even really a thing in general wellness to a degree, unless you bodybuilded, had a performance focus, maybe happened to like it. But like women, I mean, they were just, you know, they were doing Jane Fonda stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so there was like lifting weights was like, ooh, oh my gosh. we'll do that. And even women's sports. I mean, the last 20 years, holy crap.
Yeah.
Where they've come from. So
exploded.
There's more knowledge about, hey, this is probably, I should probably do something here, but there's still so many myths in people's heads. Like if you just listen to like 10 runners on different runs and you just bring up the topic, it's kind of funny if you just listen to their responses. And I don't mean that judgmentally.
Yeah.
It's just the way that we kind of naturally talk ourselves out of strength training.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, if you really love running, like I personally would like to do it until I'm dead, even if it's minimal, but I would also, and more importantly, would like to move well,
right,
and feel good.
Have that longevity,
you know? And it's like, yeah, sure, I could have a heart attack tomorrow, or I could lose a leg, or like crazy stuff. But I you know, outside of the anomalies, I just would like to be healthy and feel good. And once I started strength training a few years ago, then I realized that that was part of what I needed to do. And then you just read all the books. Even Steve Magnus, I love his stuff.
Yeah,
one of the smartest guys out there in the running industry. I don't know if he's evolved, and if I missed something the last couple of years, but even in his book, The Science of Running, you get to the strength training section. I think it's like chapter 16 or something, and it's like all this like good stuff on power production, this, that, and the other. And then you get to the actual application, and it's like, I just don't really worry about upper body. You know, just do power stuff. especially with how much he had, and I don't mean this like,
not that
he would necessarily hear this podcast, but like, I don't mean this to like sound like
Steve, if you're out there,
Steve, if you ever hear this, I love you. Like you actually have impacted my, knowledge by a large amount. But with that said, I find it funny when you think about how the body works, just generally speaking, top to bottom, and then how it works together running wise. There's so many things we could say to that, and we probably don't even need to get into that, but I just always saw these loopholes where I'm like, so why are legs the only thing that's important?
Yeah.
Like I understand it's more important, but probably not by as much of a percentage as we think.
Right.
Like it's not like 80-20, in my opinion, at least, because
I mean, listen, and I'm funny like that. So I'll be honest with you. I am of the camp of, I do a lot more legs than I do upper body, but that's just because like, and it's funny that way. Cause it's as a trail runner and as a quote unquote semi elite trail runner, like, I feel like I don't, like, how do I say this? In high school, I lifted a bunch. a ton. And mm-hmm. I'm built like a wrestler. If you were to see me, you would say that kid's not really a runner. He's probably a wrestler. Or he probably played high school football or something like that. Right.
Right.
So that's why I don't touch upper body a lot of times, is because Gen X, I already have a larger muscle mass in my shoulders and chest. And I'm like a little bit of a bigger dude. So for me, I try to shrink that as much as possible. Don't feed those muscles. Don't lift. But I do a ton of lower body stuff.
Yeah.
I work with a strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then, Sean Rimmer.
Yeah.
So I work with Sean, and I've also worked, I work with Jimmy Picard as well from Salt Lake. But yeah, man. And I don't know. I just felt like I never needed to feed that upper body.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be any bigger. I think of body weight ratio.
Or
weight ratio for running uphill and stuff like that. And
I
try to stay light as possible.
Do you gain muscle weight easily?
Very easily.
Yeah. So that this would be a great example. And not just to say it, just to say it, but I know enough people, whether I worked with them or just personal examples, especially as running has boomed and trail running too, ironically. You're not the first person to tell me that they had a different background and then trail running just lit a fire under them.
Yeah.
And they have more naturally bigger upper body because of
X sports. I came from technically a soccer background in high school.
Okay.
That's kind of what I did. That was like my primary sport, but yeah, high school football as well. And sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, no, no worries, no worries. But yeah, I can understand that. I think there's always a small percentage of people where, both generally speaking for that person and cyclically throughout different seasons, where that makes sense. And then you take Sally and John, who are 47 and 51, and it's like you probably could use full body emphasis, whether they're doing marathons, this, that, and the other.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, I saw all those loopholes and just all these missing links, even within. So that's why I use Steve Magnus as an example. One, cause he touched on just about everything. Mm-hmm. If you really read his stuff, but there's even while he's touching on it and saying, yeah, strength training is good, there's still this but kind of don't worry about that. Yeah. And if you think about who he's working with,
I think a lot of the big
things. It's going to be, people that are he has post-college people trying to make it to the trials, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And it's I'm 6 feet, 158 pounds. And when I was in top college fitness, breaking 15 and 5 and stuff like that, I was 145 pounds.
Okay.
That's that's the kind of weight ratios he's working with. And it's like, anyway, I could go on all day about that.
No, it's interesting. All right, I'm trying to think of where we dive.
Yeah,
in.
I don't where remember
we
either.
Start? Where do we want to go? All right, let's start simple. How did you end up in Colorado Springs? Was it specifically for the job or?
Yeah, I wanted to go to grad school. Well, I should say it this way: I wanted to start coaching, and I didn't want to go to high school.
Okay.
Now I'm not opposed to doing that at this point, but I still would rather do strength coaching and off season stuff for high schools or high schoolers. I don't have too much of an interest to do the lengthiness of the meets. I love the college scene, but I like doing my own thing.
Okay.
And so I think I found my own little niche. You've
got this, I feel like, yeah, you do have this, you've got the business as mm-hmm. well. So the primary thing is the business, and you have this amazing role as a strength and conditioning coach. So mm-hmm. how is that stressful and difficult to balance both, or how is that?
It has been at times, especially during 2020 chunks and stuff. At the time I was focusing on paying off my student loan debt, which I don't know if you found that when you were looking things up, but if my Facebook, it was littered with all that stuff. I was the guy, the Dave Ramsey dude that I was putting down to the cent. I paid off $2,017 and 14 cents last month, and I paid off $89,000 in 41 months.
Fuck yeah, dude. Good for you.
Thank you. And so that was a huge focus.
That's a feat in itself, man.
that was an ascent right there.
Yeah.
That was a mountain to climb. But, while I was doing that, the business was doing well, but then 2020 hit. And so budgeting at the school change, we're still recovering from that.
Okay.
Enrollment's gone down, this, that, and the other. So there was a semester I didn't even get paid.
Wow.
By them or by UCCS. And I want to say that was fall of 2020. It theoretically makes sense. But also having a personal training business during that time was very difficult. I have a Prius. I put 500 50-ish pounds of random weight in my car, and I was driving around town and seeing clients in parks, taking like a few weights inside somebody's home.
Damn, dude.
And then a boatload of Zoom sessions. And so that was really hard. And the transition, I would say, coming back into trying to be normal with the team, it's like, yeah, I'd been there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So I had a really good rapport and all that stuff, but it was hard to balance for a bit. Cause it was like, all right, do I keep doing this?
Yeah.
Our budget's really low. There's a lot of guys on the team, but every time I thought I got to like, am I going to do this? Am I going to leave? I'd go to the next practice and within like 13 seconds, they're making me laugh.
Yeah.
You know,
they're college kids,
like,
man.
It's you know, I'm fun. Having a good time, and I'm like, okay, when I get married, that's right. that's when I'll leave. You know, and I don't even know if I'll do that. So, because now I'm like, I feel like I'm on autopilot in a lot of ways. Like, I walk in, I know what I want to do. The only thing I really feel like I want to do left is like leave a legacy.
Yeah.
So me and a few of the guys are starting to make videos, and we'll just have a massive. Like library stuff. So
that's amazing.
Just explain to them, if I like died tomorrow and you don't want to hire somebody new, there you go.
That's awesome. But, now, I don't know. I think about strength and conditioning coaches, and I don't know, like, just because probably the closest college sport that I follow really intently is probably like college football. And I just think of like how exciting of a job it appears to be. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like one of my favorite coaches, and this is going a deep dive, but Coach Feld, who is the University of Miami strength and conditioning coach.
Okay.
Fucking savage. He just does this like all kinds of, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how he just hypes up the team, gets them prepared. Can you dive a little bit into like what a week in a life is probably like strength and conditioning wise for specifically for cross country,
yeah,
and for what these guys are going through, like what kind of lifts you're looking at, schedule wise, things like that.
Yeah. So most of our guys, we have a pretty like low volume program relative to, and we're in a very competitive conference, like Adams State, Western State, and all them. I would say our average guys are probably like 70-ish miles a week.
Okay.
Some of that does include like the 800 guys in the set and the other, but you have only a handful that really dip into the like 90-100 range. Mm. Because of how much muscular endurance they're doing, I'm a huge believer on a lot of heavy lifting. And because I'm not the head coach, Mark has always wanted me to kind of like taper during every meet week.
Okay.
So like we basically go every Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday, and then either Saturday, Sunday. Said that wrong. And like this weekend that we'll race tomorrow, okay, and then we'll lift Sunday, and then they race again next week. And so the Wednesday, I just do a bunch of power work with med balls, a lot of ladder drills and stuff like that. So, and it's at this point in the season, shoot, we're like, I mean, they just need to be doing straight up power at this point.
Right.
But so I try to take a very basic approach for the summer, even though I'm not with them, which really stinks. Like I said, I want this massive foundation.
Right.
And it is just flipping a coin with each kid.
Yeah. Like, you don't know if they're going to keep
like,
up.
Like,
hey, with
what'd you do? You know, like, and I've gotten more blunt in the last couple of years where I'm just like, I'm not going to be mad at you, but this will help me if you just tell me you did nothing or you like did the body weight program. Like, so I always had that in the background. So it was just like, all right, if you are camping, just do this,
yeah,
you know? And it's funny. I still, some kids seem like I'm going to like crack down on them, and you can tell sometimes they're lying and they're just like, oh yeah, I did, like, you know, I didn't lift like every time and stuff. And it's like, all right, let's do a squat and deadlift and see. But, thankfully, to what we were saying earlier, high schools are doing lifting more. So we're coming in with more athletes. When, okay, I started 11 years ago, three quarters of the guys that came in, even if we only had like six or seven dudes, our freshmen, some of them had never touched a weight.
Yeah, roll the dice.
Didn't do any other sports. And some of these kids are coming in with like, you know, like this is Division II university and like 4:15 mile and,
wow,
you know, and stuff like that. It's not every kid, but I mean, gosh, we have a bunch of freshmen that are running like 15:10 now. You know, it's like, geez, like,
wow,
that was like, that took my college career almost to do that. Wow. But anyway, to finish your question, assuming I'm in a good spot within at least 4 weeks of the start of cross season, which usually I am with the returners, I take at a pretty large block of heavy lifting because the coach likes to taper him so many times. And even with like six big cross country meets, there's only like 15-ish weeks before they hit nationals. And now that we're making nationals every year, it gives me two extra weeks to like kind of taper them later. And if they're not on the national squad, they just do like a Thanksgiving race anyway. Gotcha. So it kind of started to work pretty well, but I'm really big on getting to like the higher percentage, like at least over 80% for most of the time.
Okay.
Unless a kid is freshman, sophomore, and is just a string bean, I will literally like, I've used some kids as like a test dummy and like 6-7 years ago. And it, and even like Mark will be like, hey, like just this guy needs to put on some weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like he's going to be running 80 miles in a year.
Yeah.
And that used to be really underrated. Like it used to be like, obviously like skinnier, lower weight was always better.
You would think. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, to some,
what's his durability
to some degree, but it's like, now you're starting to think, okay, like you want to be healthy 3 years from now.
Exactly.
And once in a while, you'll just get the anomaly kid that doesn't matter. You could do it. You could tell him to run 120 miles a week or 40 and he's still an All-American. But most kids aren't like that. I wasn't like that. I needed to be like dialed in all the time. So anyway, I do that for most of the season. And then I do a pretty simple transition into power work, but I still keep the squat, dead bench, main lifts in there, overhead press. They love pull-ups. So like, I just make sure.
Do a lot of lunges and stuff like that?
Yeah. Lunges. I'd say in the beginning half the season, it's more step up, side step ups, even some step downs. And then I try to then transition it for only a little bit of time with the lunges. Cause they just, one, they hate them.
That's why I was curious.
And
I hate them.
And like side lunges, every time I put it on the board, they're like, oh damn it. You know, and like there's that, like we used to have this whiteboard in the old weight room and they would like stand behind me like while, as I'm writing and stuff. And then like, there'd be times where I'd kind of notice them. I'd like start writing side lunges or something. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're like, oh, thank God. They're like, dude, my legs are trashed. But I try to keep those low volume because it's like, I used to be more overzealous. Was like, I got to get all these things in.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, I need like three or four things each day. That's like, this is the main purpose. And then once we get into the power training, we're still doing the squat and dead and even the bench, but I'm trying to have the speed of the bar movement increase volume or not volume. Well, yeah, volume goes down a little bit and then the intensity skyrockets. And then I just base it off. Okay. So if let's say there's like a guy that's like seventh, eighth on the team and he's trying to make it. I'll take that into account if, especially if they're communicating with me. Like right now we have 35 guys.
Wow.
There's times I walk in and I don't remember everything. And a kid told me something 3 weeks ago and I say, hey, remind me.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of.
When it gets to this point and I'll just be like, hey, let me know. You said you're fatigued. Your school's stressing you out. The kid's a freshman. He's never done a 10K in his entire life, you know? And he's like, because we had a freshman on our national team. He was really good this year. So like we've had people like that. And it's like, all right, I'll sometimes pull a kid aside and say, do not do these two exercises. Do two less of all these. Cause I want you to like walk out of here and
feel a little fresher,
feel better instead of like sitting here and thinking, here's this like thing that I need everybody to do and put them all into a box. That took me probably like 5 years to before I got like the anal part of it out and like, ooh, it's gotta be exactly what my professors and I used to talk about. You know, it's like, geez, like, come on.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. So we talked a lot about power, but what about like the tendon systems, like plyo and stuff like that? Do you have them doing a lot of that as well? Or
wait, say what was the last part?
Like plyo, like tendon systems.
Yeah. That's part of the last phase.
Okay.
Like I start introducing it in the transition to the two phases. I'll have them do, oh my God, I'm completely forgetting the name right now, but I'll have them do most everything I do is supersets.
Okay.
And so I'll start transitioning from stuff that they needed earlier in the season. Like they'll do a squat and then like, especially the incoming guys or guys that are like having glute issues, I'll have them do a bunch of like clamshells, lateral walks, all that stuff. And I'll change that second exercise to like a squat jump and have them, I don't know. I never forget this phrase. I can't think of what that strength conditioning phrase is called, but anyway, not compound lifting, but it's something else. Anyway, I'll transition them there. So it's like you go from immediately from a strength movement to a power movement, and I'll only do one or two of those, but I'll do more ladder stuff before they start the workout.
Okay.
And I'll have them start doing more stuff like pogos, and like every other lift or so we'll do tuck jumps, and we'll just do like two sets of five. And they're sitting there joking around, music's playing, stuff. They don't even know what's going on. And then when we actually transition to power, then it's more explosiveness. Eventually, ideal, we try to get weight it like into a goblet
gotcha.
Position or something, instead of it just being a squat jump, and then actually get more weight behind it. Mm-hmm. And stuff with like landmines and stuff, have them do like, you know, whatever you want to call it, like rainbows and like, you know, pressing through, extending through your elbow, all that kind of stuff. But you know, like steeplers right now, I started having them do like depth jumps and then reactive jumps, and then starting with, and then doing it with weight and all that kind of stuff. So it's
so cool.
I think that's ultimately where you want to go.
Yeah.
Like even to somebody that's older, it's like you ultimately want to get to doing more of it single leg, or at least unilateral, split leg, whatever you want to call it, and then getting power into it. Even if it's for 4 weeks mm-hmm. before like Boston, even
yeah.
it's like, I think people have no idea how much is sitting there and how much better you'll feel and more athletic.
Yeah. That's why I ask. The reason is because, you know, the large majority of this audience is trail runners, and you know,
yeah,
I think a lot of them don't do strength training. You'd
yep.
be surprised by how many people I ask.
It's crazy.
That are at a high level and they're like, no, I don't really lift. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, like I said, I got into it. This off season was the first off season like I truly committed to a coach and truly committed to getting into it. And just my durability has gone up significantly. I feel better. I feel stronger, man. Like I'll hit I do a lot of steep stuff on the incline sometimes.
Oh, and cool.
Man, I just feel so much better. I feel fitter, and I feel, I don't know, just like I said, from a durability perspective, like I just have more power, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really recommend it to everybody. And not to double back too hard, but one of the questions I did have for you was, as a coach and working with like from college students, is it like a pain in the ass and hard to like keep them to like make stay on top of them like during the season to make sure they're doing their shit, or like are they pretty good, or like
it's each year has its own little intricacies and stuff. We're now our team is the culture is like just kind of on autopilot in a lot of ways. Like we have our, I guess, delinquencies, but you'll get your, once in a while, you'll kind of get a bad apple here and there, but they almost always naturally phase out within a couple years.
Okay.
Especially like, it's the, I'm generalizing when I say our culture is great, but it's like when I started 10 or 11 years ago, we had like 50-50. Mm-hmm. We had the kids that partied and then the kids that didn't really care. Maybe once in a while they would or something like that, but they just wanted to run. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of battled that for a long time, and we were always an underdog team. We weren't making it to nationals every year. And then 2018, we haven't missed it since.
Wow.
And it's like, we had a couple of great athletes come along. I mean, Affy, who's actually one of my roommates now. I mean, he ran 13:42 and you know, he's like ridiculous, but we also had Evan who ran 3:43 and in the 15 and all that kind of stuff. But either way, the depth of our team grew so much. So now there's the expectation is like, we're not messing around.
Right.
But so with buy-in. That said,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's pretty immediate, and you can almost tell within a couple months where it's just kind of like, this kid would surprise me if he's here in a year.
Wow. Okay.
There's only like one or two, and a couple in the last 2 years have surprised me.
Okay.
And that was where I figured saw even further that our culture was like taking us mm-hmm. because even like this year was supposed to be a down year, and we still made it one to nationals, and then two, gosh, what were we, 18th or 19th? I think 19th. And yeah, it's division two, and you could easily look at that. It's like, oh, it's not even top 10 or something, but like 2021, we were fifth mm-hmm. and we were like slivers away from my third and fourth, just to come. And we, our fourth guy fainted, or our fifth guy like collapsed or something like that. Fourth or fifth guy. Yeah. Anyway. And we still got fifth. So it's like, once that happened, it was like, oh,
because of okay. for real.
Like yeah. we just beat Western for the first time ever, three times in a row. And then people just, and it's in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And we have an indoor track now. Yeah. People call us.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't, I mean, we recruit, but I mean, it's, we don't like have to do it as much as you would think.
Yeah.
But it's the little things though, I would say it's 50-50. Like okay. The little things for the kids. Like there's some kids will just literally be there, do every single hurdle drill possible.
Yeah.
Hey, do these three things. Your glutes too tight. I'll tell them blah, 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 blah. And just, and hey, let me know in two sessions. And they'll be like, hey, I did all of it, you know? And then the next kid would kind of be like, oh yeah. You know, it's pretty funny.
There's always, the, yeah, I know. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's very inspiring to me to hear about the kids that are like, that come in and just buy in and,
yeah,
they're ready to work hard and kind of go after it.
So. It's pretty fun. It keeps the fire alive from a coaching perspective.
Hell,
like,
yeah,
like if we didn't have the last few years, I probably, as much as I like it and being with them, like from a personable standpoint and just like a little bit of fun, and it just shapes my career too, but I probably wouldn't be here,
yeah,
if our culture wasn't shifting that way. Yeah. So
no, that makes sense. Let's pivot over to your personal practice that you work with, you know, as a personal trainer. One of the things I really liked about your site is that you kind of, it's like a little bit of a deep dive into, diet and things like that. So I'd like to dive into that a little bit more,
yeah,
because it seems that's something I struggle with, is just like the nutrition part of it. I think a lot of people do. So can we dive into that part a little,
yeah,
bit? And your background on that.
And you saw JeffWilsonPersonalTraining.com, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, the reason why I asked that is I just remade my TotalBodyRunning.com site.
I didn't look at that.
Yeah. So if we remember, I'll get to that at the
end.
But the reason why I've done that is because ultimately I'd like to have the running business and then hire people through that,
okay,
and have more coaches. And then at one day hand the baton off to somebody without it just being under like a personal training brand.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
But yeah, to answer your question though, which we kind of like alluded to earlier, my running career was halted pretty heavily right when I started to take off. I was in my fifth year at Saginaw Valley. I was 23. I mean, I finally was running times that people knew I could and I knew I could. And I was in the GLIAC conference at the time. It's not as competitive as our conference here at UCCS, but it's enough. It's Grand Valley, all this, you know. And I mean, I was starting to like get in the fast heats, broke 15 in the 5K. I mean, I was like starting to like,
okay,
like some of the workouts I was putting in indoor. This would have been 2011. Holy crap, man. Like I look back, like sometimes even my roommates who are there in their mid-20s, late 20s, and they'll like ask me a question about that time. Cause most of them, except for the guy I just referenced, Affy, earlier, don't have the same PRs I have, but they're close. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so what were you doing? Like when you hit these last three times and stuff, and you know, I'll tell them, they're like, Jesus, dude, like, you know, like you're like relative. Obviously I wasn't going to run like 14 flat or something, but I was on that path. And I was one of those guys that post-college stuff didn't scare me. Mm-hmm. Like I knew I was going to train. Most guys think they're going to, but they, you know, you start and all of a sudden you realize that the team environment was pretty necessary. Mm-hmm. But anyway, right when I hit those times, it was like 2 days before my indoor conference meet. And I was like psyched out of my mind. And then my body just fell apart. I had this massive, like whether it was a stomach flu or something like that. I literally I didn't have a meal for like 48 hours. And then I ran the 5K because I shouldn't have, but I mean, it was my senior year. Like yeah. You had to put a gun to my head and I probably still would have ran. And I finished, did all that stuff. It was terrible. And about 10 days after that, I had to go to the ER. I could barely breathe. I could barely stand up in the middle of the night. It was the weirdest thing. They never actually gave me a diagnosis. So they're just like, we don't actually know what's wrong with you.
Jesus.
Like you're telling us you have pneumonia, basically. Nothing, not one thing came
nothing
back with
your
like
lungs
definitive.
Yeah,
they're like, your lungs are incredible. Nothing's on them. But you're obviously like, I mean, you could see, I mean, people like right when my roommate saw me, they're like, geez, like, holy shit, dude. I lost like 10 pounds. And I was already like 142.3.
Damn.
Yeah, for a 6 foot tall guy, that was, you know, I was edging the.
That's lean, man.
Edging the side of that. I think I was in an exercise science class at the time. And I remember right around then I did a bod pod and I was 6.5% body fat. And that God was damn. Right at the lowest amount that relative to my body weight and all that stuff. And just generally speaking, a male should not be under.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better at the time, but I eat like a horse too. So it wasn't like, I mean, I ate 4,500 calories on days.
Jesus.
And, it wasn't all crap either, but anyway, I just, all that stuff happened. And I didn't have an answer. It's my senior year. I have one nine week season left to go. I kind of ran through it. I go to a doctor, I think late May or early June of that, I graduated, and it was a holistic doctor. And at the time that stuff was still kind of weird. You know, it's like, it's the Western, Western mindset. Like, it was kind of like, it was some random chiropractor that you're just like some weird building, you know, you're just like, what am I doing here? Like, yeah, you need to do a saliva test.
Gonna do like a chant around you.
Yeah. Like, you know, like what's, you know, there's like oil, essential oils over here. Just like, my God, like, can you just like, you know, give me a pill? And I didn't realize that from that moment on, it would change me forever for so many reasons, and like change my view of health and everything. But you know, he had me take a hair sample and all this blood tests. 2 weeks go by or whatever. And I walk in the room and the guy's like, Jeff, I don't really know how to tell you this, because you're 24. You just ran some of the best races of your entire life, but your thyroid is about to stop working.
Wow.
And your adrenal glands are completely wiped out. Like, it was somewhere in the like 0.0 something number. And I didn't even know what the adrenal glands were. I didn't know the thyroid, like I'd heard of the thyroid, but it's like one of those things in like anatomy where you're like, oh, it's right there. Okay, cool. I got a point on my test. You know, like, it wasn't like nobody talked about it really. It's just, oh, it regulates your hormonal system. Cool. Yay.
Right.
And he started explaining me to this stuff, and I'm like, I'm in a cloud. You know, I wasn't sleeping well. My brain's just cognitively, I was like just in the grave, it felt like. And he's sitting there telling me my body's like shutting down. I don't even know what he means. I'm like, dude, I'm 24. I'm like thinking all the times
possible.
I just ran. And I'm like, the only thing that helped was like, I have felt like shit for like 3 months. So it's like, well, this is at least like somewhat validating. And he's like, dude, I don't know how you were racing. Wow. He's like, you could have had a heart attack. Like,
what?
Like this. Holy and shit. I don't know how to explain that part, but it was just because I was so close to the adrenal shutting down. Once, if that happens, then your hormonal system goes all over the place. Oh my God. And so it's normally like, there's a lot of thyroid issues in this, but like you mentioned, there's a lot of people with autoimmune,
yeah.
And thyroid's a big one, but ironically the adrenal glands is usually like the root to it all. I'm still not the best person to describe all that stuff. Most of it's experience and then like little bits and pieces here and there. Eventually I'd like to take my career there though with runners, cause it's just going to keep getting worse. Our food system's an absolute shit show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know, I still remember that office visit. And I remember him telling me, you got to stop eating wheat and dairy. I'm like, I eat 4,000 calories at 80% of it's wheat, dairy, and like fruits, you know, like a bunch of sugars. And so all of a sudden my journey started. And basically from that point forward, my running was never really the same. I had all these like chunks of time where it was like 2 months. I'd be like, ooh, I'm making some progress. And then my body would just shut down.
Damn.
And so I never really improved in any way. I got close when I moved here. My second year, we made it to nationals in 2014. And I was training with the top group. And there's this one, like, really like a 3 month period. I had a couple 5Ks in the summer that I just kind of randomly ran and ran 15:30. And I was like, okay, I'm like close. Ran a 25:06 8K at a cross country course, not altitude. And I was like, okay, that's about where I left off cross country. And then like a month later, went down the tube. Testosterone eventually became an issue. I was literally taking like testosterone injections.
Jesus.
And that part, I actually kind of skipped that. But when I went to my next doctor, I was trying to train again in early 2013. Mm-hmm. I was trying to like really do the things I'd wanted to do. And I was going to see this different holistic doctor. And I felt like I was running in quicksand for like this like couple month period. I did a 3K one day, and I remember trying to kick, and it felt like somebody had a wall in front of me.
Jesus.
And you know, I'm only 25, right? I go to my doctor after this. I distinctively remember this tempo run I was on, and I could not run fast after like 5 minutes. Like, I couldn't even run under 6 minute pace.
Wow.
You know, and this is one at sea level two, like that used to just be like a day. You know? And so I call this guy and I'm like, hey, can you check my testosterone? And he goes, Jeff, you're 25, man. And I'm like, I know, I don't know how to explain it, but I think I'm right. and I had no knowledge. It was just like a gut feeling. Really? I still remember this. I was standing on the road looking at my GPS and I just screamed. You know, I'm sure I said the fuck, you know, the F word about a shit ton of times. I was so pissed and I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, I feel like complete dog shit.
Yeah.
And he comes, you know, a couple weeks go by and he's like, kind of the same energy as the first guy I mentioned. He's like, Jeff, I don't really know what to tell you, but damn, you have the testosterone of a 70-year-old man.
What?
Yeah. It was like 270, like the total testosterone.
Yeah.
And like, even, how old are you?
33.
Yeah. Okay. So like, even like, yeah, past 25, some stuff starts changing past 30, blah, blah, blah. But we should be like in the few hundreds.
Yeah.
And at the time, 25,
it's your prime,
like 700, 800,
yeah,
like out, you know, out, even not even taking anything, mm-hmm, even as a distance runner, you should at least be like 600. And I was 270 something.
Wow.
And like, I still remember my dad, who would have been like 58 or something at the time. He had just ironically, like a month later, took a test and he called me one day and he's like, what was your number again? And as I told him, he's like, yeah, mine was like 400 something.
Holy shit.
You know, and he, of course, that was normal for that age and everything. I'm like, oh my God. So anyway, there's so many other little moments and stuff, but that I had to fight that forever.
Yeah.
And outside of those little things I mentioned when I was here, that would have been what, 2014 to like early 2015. I tried getting into the road scene more because the ultimate goal is the marathon trials.
Yeah.
As like, I felt like something like 219 was, if I had 3-4 years of where I was in college, I could do that. And every time I got any momentum, it just went down the tubes. I tried a couple halves. The best I got to is 1:14:13, okay, summer 2015. And I mean, I tanked the last like 4 miles.
Yeah.
Like nobody understood why. And the hardest part about all this was, one, this stuff wasn't very like known. Two, I'm a man, so anytime you have stuff like this, you just sound like a pussy.
Yeah, you can't talk about it.
You know, and it's just like, well, yeah, but I mean, like, you've ran this, so like, you know, you're just getting older, or you know, whatever. I mean, we could list like 20 things, and I had to like kind of push against that and like eat different. My athletes would even make fun of me, say I'm eating rabbit food and stuff, you know. And it's like I had to do all these things for years. I wasn't making much money. I couldn't go to many specialists. And then all of a sudden I met, let's see. Well, one, the personal training business started May of 2018. It just kind of fell on my lap. I put my shoes down. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I'm just going to run casually. And then that's kind of running. I was about to turn 31.
Okay.
And so that was kind of a backseat for a little bit. And then that summer I met the doctor I see now, Dr. Aaron. He's in town, in Colorado Springs, right off of Woodman.
Okay.
And it just started the journey, and people can't see, but you know, I started here and it's like, I'm now here. Like, wow. It's just been this slow. I've seen him about twice a month that entire time. And we've worked on thyroid health, you know, food, blah, 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 chiropractic stuff, acupuncture, oxygen chamber, like just like things over and over and over again. And then I started running again a couple years ago. And it's like, there's so many other factors. There's counseling, you know, there's other things that don't get talked about with training. Mm-hmm. And when you think about all the
slivers, mental side is something we could dive into.
Yeah. One thing I'm thankful with, like I really, really wish I would have had at least a little bit more of my career when I was younger.
Big time.
You know, especially, I mean, obviously making it to trials would be cool, but even if I got close, like if I had like really put it all out there and went like 221 or something, yeah, it'd be like, yeah, that would awesome, stink.
Yeah.
Or even like a 224 or 5. I think that was extremely realistic. So it's like, yeah, it would have been nice to have had that. Especially, I love 5Ks and 3Ks. Mm-hmm. I know I had like a low 14s kind of like capability.
It's a solid time.
Jesus. But like, it sucks because I never did it. Yeah. You know, so that part stinks. But
you did say you ran sub 15, right?
Yeah, I ran 14:55.
That's once. Crazy, dude. Holy shit.
And you know, I mean, I'm kind of seeing running different again, even though I'm 36. It's like, yeah, the likelihood I do that again is pretty low, but I'm also running the 800 and the mile again. And it's like, I don't know.
Never say never. What's like, your mile time now? Like, what are you?
I mean, right now, if I were to run one right now, I think if I ran great, I would run 4:45.
It's fucking solid, dude.
But when I was in college, I ran 4:26, but I was just, that wasn't really my forte.
Yeah.
But, so who knows? I haven't been unhealthy for 2 years. I'm just not running 70 miles a week like I used to. Yeah. And like own a business and all that stuff.
So yeah, you're busy, man. You're busy.
Like I'm trying to do both. So we'll see. I'm not really like putting my like identity in that stuff anymore. It's like, I like it, but,
can we dive a little bit more into some of the dietary changes that you actually made besides outside of like the, obviously you said dairy, you said wheat.
Oh yeah.
What kind of like, what's the meat and bones, no pun intended, of like what you got into?
Yeah. I tested a lot of things, and during this time, so like 2011 June until I guess you could say now, but at least to 2018, 19, that was a weird chunk of the fitness industry, mm-hmm. or at least the nutritional industry, like the amount of information and the different fads that went through, know, the smoothie fad, you know, the now keto. It's like there's validity to for somebody in all of those things.
Right.
But like at the time, I'd say increased protein was a big deal. I remember that being talked about a lot. The initial things I had to do was cut out wheat and dairy and increase vegetable intake. That wasn't very hard. Excuse me. That was the initial like year or two. And it's simple. I'm making it sound really simple. It sucked. I hated it. But because, you know, cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like pizza. Pizza is my food.
Oh, my God. I would have a hard time without pizza.
Dude, there was a realization at the time because I mentioned the industry because it was so like cut and dry at the time. It's like, especially the thyroid section. Anytime you got to like a pretty well established doctor in that realm, it was like, you can't even have like a sliver of wheat. If you have it, 6 months to reset and all. I mean, it was so depressing.
Rigid, yeah.
To hear those things over and over. And I adhered to a pretty large chunk of it because that's just the kind of my personality. And I just wanted to get better, but gosh, that was so extreme. And so I still remember the time when I sat there and I'm like, am I ever going to have a regular pizza again? I literally cried.
Dude, I would too.
Because I was thinking, you know yourself, Jeff, you know, you're going to listen to this. Is this like your life?
Yeah.
And now I might get to that later. I've learned so much from that, but that was where things started. And I had to like really piece through, okay, even though I wasn't running as much, I was still an active guy working 2-3 jobs all the time. I still consumed at least 2,500 calories on most days. Okay. And so when you think about what that changes, the gluten-free food was pretty expensive and it wasn't as good at the time. So there was even more starches and like just other things put in that just didn't, ironically, also make your stomach feel that great, but it made you feel okay mentally because you could have the same foods. So that was the start of it. And then I would say when it got to its extremes, I did the elimination stuff.
Okay.
So that was obviously eliminating, but it was still like I dabbled. I mean, I was 24, 25. Yeah, yeah. I still had, you know, weed. I had beer, this, that, and the other. But eventually I got to the point, by the time I moved here, I was somewhere in the ballpark of 29 years old. To 30 range, 31. And then I had started to try like everything. I had cut out. At one point I cut everything down to where I didn't have anything but bison red meat, liver red meat, I think elk,
okay,
fruits, vegetables. And it wasn't everyone. Like nightshades were out.
Yeah.
Berries were out.
Wow.
And that was the lowest I went to. That was hard.
Dude, you must have been ripped as shit.
It was hard. And then I like added in like nuts or seeds.
Okay.
And I kind of went back, and then quinoa and this, that, and the other. So that, like, outside of having to literally try to heal something, I would never tell somebody to do that at this point.
Yeah.
Like if they want to, great.
You want to really be depressed.
Yeah. I mean, it was really hard. Like if you're somebody that only needs like 1800 calories or something,
curious it on, makes it. On the meat really quick. So bison, liver, elk. Now, I noticed, interestingly enough, you didn't say beef. Is that because what? I'm just curious as to why.
Yeah.
Very curious on this.
Yeah, I may not remember everything now, but The main reason is because most of the beef sources were terrible.
That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
And so like all the added chemicals and stuff, it was just like, one, it just eliminated the thought process of even having to think about it. Because yeah, you could get the organic and grass fed and stuff, but we don't even know if that's true.
Right. We don't. Yeah.
Like there are places, there's a place in Southeast Colorado. I am blank. Some Rancho Largo or something, I think is the name, but okay. It's really good beef and they just raise their own cows and all that stuff. So it's like, I think we have to start as a side note, move that direction
big time
where we're like trying local stuff, but we're like connecting people and be like, hey, here, get your meat here.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't do it perfect all the time, this, that, and the other, and people have kids are busy and this, right, that, and the other, but like,
but if you can cut out factory farming, like it's big time.
Yeah. It was a big deal. I remember the doctor at the time this one was a different guy up in Denver. He's just like, just do what you can. It's not gonna be perfect, but like try not to have regular chicken. Cause most of that same category.
Garbage. Yeah.
Oh, fish was the other thing I had.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was always wild caught.
Yeah.
Which that is an extreme difference.
Dude, if people knew what was in like,
oh my god, like farm raised
salmon.
Farm raised salmon it's crazy. Like I still remember years when I first started it, I made a mistake or I was out eating and that's all they had. And I remember taking a bite of a salmon that was very clearly farm raised. And I mean it was like
night and day.
Yeah. Not even a question. I was like, all right, well, I paid for it, so
gotta eat it.
I'll finish, but I will never do that again. And it was like alarm every time. I will literally stare at the label until I figure it out if it's not obvious.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was the main reason for beef. Okay. Like it was just taking out the questions. And then there was something else with elk and bison. It might have just been the lean
very
category lean of it. And then the liver one was literally for iron, and there was something else, but that helped a lot. It didn't taste good unless you peppered it with stuff, but it was very noticeable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Curious to see, I know it's like a big debate now, and this is just a random question that I'm curious about just because you're like very involved on the diet side. Seed oils. Do you cut that shit out?
You know, so I did that too at the time.
Okay.
Like actually during that same phase, this is going to sound so nuts, but after like a test, like I didn't even have black pepper.
Okay.
Like there was like stuff like that. That was like, don't do this, do this, you know? And the seed oils was a big one. Oh, and I had to do eggs too.
Ooh, that's sucked. Tough.
Yeah. So I eat eggs all the time.
Same.
Like probably 5 days a week, like 3 to 4 at least.
It's tough to cut that out.
Yeah. And they're really good for you. There's obviously mixed nutritional advice everywhere. I would say to anyone listening, like try to simplify it as much as possible. You want to be like initially trustworthy, you know, trusting to who you're going to, but take it with a grain of salt, like literally, and try to listen to your body.
Yeah.
Like if you're reacting good, it doesn't necessarily mean 20 years from now it's good, but you're probably at least on the right path.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you ever have to cut out caffeine? Did you have to do?
I'm glad you asked that. Ironically, so I didn't have caffeine at all.
Wow.
Regularly, just by myself.
Okay.
Like I had probably 10 coffees before the age of 30.
What? Oh dude, I would die if I had to cut out coffee.
So now I love it. I was just at Loyal Coffee before I came here.
Okay.
I love their black coffee. I try not to have much, and I try to once a week or so have a day where I don't, or maybe I'll have like white tea or something.
Okay.
And then I'm going to try this new thing every quarter to take out like 4 or 5 days or maybe a week and then reset and do all that stuff. But anyway, that wasn't a problem. I also, during part of that same phase and into, I was, I think, 32, I did over 2 years of no alcohol.
Okay. And I don't drink, so that's why I was.
Yeah, that was like I was only socially drinking, but I love beer.
Yeah,
and I love red wine, and it really wasn't much, but I just woke up one day and I was like, I think I need to cut this out too.
Yeah, mine was before performance. I just really got to the point where I was like, okay, what can I eliminate that's going to give me better sleep, help me recover better, you know? And I. It's 100% from performance decisions.
So, yeah, I understand. And there is a lot to it. I mean, even people like Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever listened to him,
yeah, but
like, I mean, even he's big on just like, hey, it's, yeah.
If you can get rid of it, you know?
I mean, like, socially, I get like, if I'm with friends, they'll be like, the fuck, you're not going to have a beer? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, but at the same time, I don't know. I stick to my, like, I like to stick to my guns, you know?
Yeah.
I like to, I really appreciate a solid night's sleep. I'm kind of a psycho about tracking like my deep sleep and all my sleep cycles.
Okay.
And I want to be tuned in on recovery. And I feel like if I have, I was with a sponsor, I don't know, it's like 6 months ago, and we went out to a restaurant. Everybody had beers, and I'm like, all right, fine, I'll order a beer. Order a beer, dude. I had like the worst sleep of my life.
Really?
Because like I don't normally drink, and yeah, it was after that I pretty much swore off it. It was like I'm done. You know?
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. I mean, I go through phases. Like right now, it's been 2 months and I haven't. I ironically, I'm actually meeting Sean later.
Oh, are you ready?
Gonna, yeah, we're going to catch up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what brewery we're going
Shout out to Sean Rimmer.
Yeah, what up, Sean? And, but I even said, like, I told him and another friend, like, last week, I was just like, hey, I don't know when, for whatever reason, I'm just going to ride this wave.
You're meeting him today?
Yeah.
I actually.
Yeah, at like six or something.
All right, I'm going to get, I have something for
six
him.
15, yeah.
I'm going to give you to take with you.
Okay.
All right. Perfect.
But anyway, it was like, I don't have a big reason otherwise, or just other than, I don't know. It just kind of naturally happened. I had like 3-4 weeks in, I guess it'd be February now.
I know he likes his
where
beer.
I was just kind of like, eh, I don't really want anything. And I try to do that here and there, like even with the small bits of coffee, like if I get like a day, like I'm a momentum guy with everything. So especially with all this food stuff, like it is hard to do this. It's hard to change these things. And all of a sudden a doctor tells you to take out wheat. It's like, one, do it step by step. You know, it's like if I'm working with a personal training client that has a lot of soda, if they're having two a day, I'm not going to tell them to have zero tomorrow. Yeah. You know, like
withdrawals, man.
It's like, it's just, it's hard. So it's like, to anyone that's even thinking about doing any of these things, it's like, give it time. It takes your brain some like rewiring and stuff. But once you get a little like boost and you notice whether it's the alcohol thing, your stomach isn't reacting to something well, or you're like caffeine fanatic. Yeah. It's like, at first it sounds like a nightmare to get rid of it. But then like you get a couple days and you're like, you know, okay, I'm fine.
Could do it.
You know, let's have tea instead or something, you know? And then I try to ride the wave. And
something warm. So. Like even for me, I think it's the stimulus of having,
oh yeah,
it's like a hot cup of something in your hand, you know? Like, I'm not saying do this, but like I have done it before. If I'm trying to kick, like I'll do decaf every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, or, it's actually, dude, this is a whole different tangent. It's actually something to piggyback off of a video I saw you posted about like vestibular system. But I actually had a vestibular neuritis earlier in the year, like from an inner ear infection that was causing issues. And dude, I looked up everything in the book. What the hell could be wrong with me? Cause I'm like guessing and trying to figure out. And one of the things I thought was caffeine. So I cut out caffeine for like a week and I was going through it, man. It was tough. And so one of the things I did was started off with decaf. And then like, I do just like a hot cup of tea or hot chocolate even at times. Like I did a gazillion different things to try and just like, and then I realized that wasn't the issue. I went straight back to having coffee, obviously. but it was a struggle. Like I didn't feel any better. I felt a million times worse. Got to get out. Like I don't know how people get up in the morning to have a cup of coffee, but that's, you know, I've been drinking it since college. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but
yeah, it's okay. That's okay. And, I mean, at least you tried though. I mean, that's like a lot of people won't do it, you know? And even we were talking about strength training earlier.
Yeah.
Even for somebody that's kind of like, oh, you know what? I think I should and stuff. It just like anything, it has to like take, you know, especially in that way, gosh, what do you, at least 6 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, especially if somebody hasn't done it for a long time or ever. Yeah. It's like, you probably at least need that amount of time to get anywhere. But like, I'm so glad on the caffeine topic. I didn't have it for so long and that I've done all those nutritional things because now I know that no matter what happens to me, I can always rely on the fact that I've done those things.
Right.
You know, it's even with stuff like performance and running and stuff. It's like, all right, I don't know if I want to run 70 miles a week again, but I know I could and I know how to do it well. And now I know how to recover better.
Right.
And I know that I know my body enough to where like some of the things we just said, let's say I start doing that next year, I'll know the things that naturally at some point will be like, all right, I'm like wanting more of this to like get my head through the game.
Yep.
And it's like just these little cues that you can, like, I think a lot of people are too kind of like checked out of themselves and we're too distracted by our phones and just going time. Like commuting to our jobs and just, oh, I got to do this, I do that. And then they just run or train for whatever they're doing. And they're not really tuned into what their body's telling them
about or how they feel. Yeah.
And I even think that's some of the root problem to why some of these things happen nutritionally. Like obviously the story I told was kind of extreme to a degree other than I was just young and nothing bad really happened. But at the same time, like I never really ran fast again. Yeah. So well, I shouldn't say not ran fast, but relatively speaking. But I think people's lives and how they go about it and don't listen to themselves is why stomach stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And the autoimmune usually starts
in your gut.
In your gut.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. It's a wild battle too. I've known quite a few people that have dealt with like autoimmune things, and it's interesting to me because I'm like, you know, what is your lifestyle like and things like that to you know, bring things up. But so let's dive a little bit more into the practice that you have as well. I don't know if you want to talk more about that. Oh, sure. We talked about the diet aspect, but
yeah.
I really want to give listeners, especially because we have somebody in the Colorado Springs area.
Oh, sure.
To learn a little bit more about your practice and you know, if they're looking, you know, if you're looking for more clients and
be able right.
Yeah.
So as far as, I'm assuming only runners are listening.
Runners, so, families of runners. Yeah.
Yeah. But whether you are a runner or not, I would say about half my business is runners. And then the other half is typically in-person personal training clients.
Yep.
Most people are somewhere between 35 and 55. But I've had as from the personal training side of things, I've had as I think as old as 86.
Wow.
Margaret, she was awesome. But I haven't heard from her in a couple of years. But and then as young as just youth athletes. I'm hoping to actually do more youth athlete work with the Pikes Peak Athletic Center this summer.
Okay.
We're working on that now. But as far as what I do, my main goal with runners, which I alluded to earlier with strength training, but my, I guess, tagline, if you will, would be to help runners get stronger, faster, and more injury resilient. And I like to take a total body approach. This is where the total body running name came from.
Okay.
And all the stuff we just said is why. I think I would have been a great coach just helping people get faster and then learning about strength training along the way. But I think because of my story, it's forced me to think, okay, well, there's food, there's recovery, because I had, that was a problem too for a while. There's like, oh, now you take the food thing, there's the caffeine, there's the no alcohol, there's like what type of food, you know, the sleep parts, like those things related to sleep.
Yeah.
Habits, and then your social life, your relational life, your mental health,
so many components,
you know, it's like, and it really actually does matter. And so most people were, when they work with me, I'm helping them qualify for Boston, do the ascent. I do get beginners that just want to learn how to run, do a 5K and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's people that are like, hey, I want to do this next thing.
Yeah.
Boston's probably the thing I will focus the most on.
Okay.
If they're not on the younger side of things. But I put a big emphasis on the strength training component. It is a hard wall to break down, though. So, I mean, we talked about that earlier, but it's a lot of people will say they want it and they get excited about it. And then they immediately push to the run training stuff. And it's understandable, but I try to make it very like 50-50. Okay. Where it's like, I keep pushing, like, especially as people age, just the mobility of their joints. You can do yoga. That's great. You can stretch. That's also great, but you're going to get the most out of strength training.
Dude, your bone, what does your bone density break down like a ton after, as you start getting old?
Yeah. It's, I mean, even after like our age range, it's theoretically or from research and stuff, it starts like our testosterone levels as guys go down every few years. I think we'll kind of push up against that with like all the Hubermans and
the hacks and stuff, you know, like
and stuff that are happening. But, I like to take a full body, like even like internal approach with people, especially if they're willing. But I usually will start with the things that are fun. People want to know like, hey, what workouts do I need to do? But I'm a big speed guy, even for somebody training for the marathon. And because it's just, I think speed, strength, and like just their body moving well is the limiting factors that people don't even know are there. I mean, even something like simple as calves work. Like Sean's actually the first person, like him and I have a very similar strength training philosophy. And part of my issues as I was getting back into running 2 years ago was the relative strength between my lower legs to the rest of my body. I didn't realize was such a discrepancy. Mm-hmm. And because we run, you think your calves are fine. Especially, you know, like if you looked at mine, you know, they look strong, they look vascular. It's like, yeah, you're fine. Yeah. You know, you're young, you know, whatever. But it's like what your calves need to be able to do as well as like the big toe, like what that needs to be able to accomplish and how much force you're hitting the ground with and then pushing off, or what's necessary to push off well and then do it however many tens of thousands of times and stuff. It's like, it is so underrated. It's stupid.
Big time.
And like, that's what I would say. Like with you mentioned something earlier, I can't remember what it was, but I think I was going to ask you something about that, but either way,
lower body versus upper body.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Oh yeah. It was the lower body. So it's if like for people listening, like, you know, in the 2010s glutes were like the big thing.
Yeah.
But I personally think the missing links are feet, calves, and hip flexors.
Yeah.
And it's especially if we're talking lower body or even like the kind of connecting points to being faster, also staying healthy, and then even the relationship to the upper body. Because you get the hip flexors have a lot to do with like low back pain.
Yep.
And like the, not lordosis, but just the, I guess, anterior pelvic tilt that people typically have, or something where their like low back is just kind of a little bit off.
Yeah.
I'm moving as if people can see me, but
I forgot we don't have camera.
Yeah, it's like, sorry guys. But anyway, so that's, I like to, in person, we do an assessment up front. If they need to, like Sean and I actually have a good relationship with this, but if they need to get further physical therapy work, then I'll pretty quickly send them off to that. For the most part, naturally people come and they're ready. And it's the stuff that I can work on. It's like, right, just it's easy stuff. It's like, all right, I just look at the full body, have them get their shoes off. I watch them run, all that stuff. So I love the in-person stuff more than anything.
Yeah.
But I work with people completely remotely, completely in person, or a hybrid, which is the most fun out of that. Because if they're like, hey, I want to do the ascent, but I want to see you once a week.
Right.
That's awesome. That's like the greatest thing ever. And so that's, I want to grow the running side of my business the most this year. That's my biggest goal.
Okay.
But as far as personal training goes, some of the stuff that I just referenced about my life, naturally, I'd say a good chunk of people that have come to me have had either an autoimmune condition or they just feel like complete crap.
Yeah. Did you say it's like a big, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I mean, honestly, my curiosity too, because I'm sure a lot of them are mid packers, you know, maybe some front of the pack, but like, is it just because of these people, you know, they got their day job, they're caught up, like everyday life just kind of wears them down. Mm-hmm. Would you say a lot of that is that?
Yeah, I think so. And most people, like I sometimes forget that most people don't have the background that I had.
Yeah.
Like it's like I started running seventh grade.
Right.
I had this team environment, or it's, you know, Rocky and David Goggins combination. You know, it's like, you know, and there's all this, like you learn all the intrinsic stuff. And so one that, I mean, intrinsic motivation is just not naturally with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Sorry if that bums you out listening, but, I guess that's kind of what David Goggins does.
You're not wrong.
Like, hey, like just get up and go. But when you think about how hard life can be, just generally speaking, and they're coming to you for knowledge, right? They're coming to you for help, but because there's all these preconceived notions of how to get better at running. Mm-hmm. Like I've worked with this one guy, for like 3 years, and his things were the exact stuff I referenced that he needed to do were those main areas.
Okay.
He had a huge running background. He was actually pretty solid in his 20s. He had broken 3 hours in a marathon and stuff like that at one point. But he was 51, I think, when we started. So he'd be somewhere close to 55 at this point.
Okay.
But his patterns were so stuck on long runs and like having the miles and miles and miles. And it was like, if you looked at his life and then the stress and then the things he told me, which, you know, you have to like read the emails and stuff, it'd be like, do we need like quick wins?
Yeah.
Like we need like hill sprints twice a week, not the whole year, but like we need to get to your strength foundation.
Yeah.
So that you can get to power. And it's like he bought in immediately, but just verbally, mm-hmm. you know, but there was all these I really need to get like 14 in this weekend. And it's like, dude, every time you do that, you feel amazing for accomplishing it.
Yeah.
And it's a big box checked.
You're breaking yourself down.
But like that's, and it's like, yeah, you want to get to the marathon again. Yeah. We have to do that at some point, but we don't have to do it 11, 12 months out of the year.
Right.
And most people don't need to, but because the long run was like the secret sauce of like the 80s and 90s.
Right. I hate it. Like, it's my least favorite part of the week. I have it once a week and my coach is just like pulling fucking teeth, man. Cause yeah. I'm always like, I want to do something fast and yep. short. Like, I don't know. But anyway. Well,
and where the industry's at too, I don't know if you've read into much of double threshold training, yes, but yes. like in all the Norwegian stuff,
yeah,
and Jakob yeah. and things, like my roommates will go nuts. Like, I'll tell them about you. If they ever want to come and talk about it, they would, they would talk your ear off. But, and I agree with the concepts and stuff. Obviously most people can't do two workouts in a day,
yeah.
but threshold training, it's like if you go back all the way to Lydiard and stuff, that was technically already figured out, but it was just in a very simplistic manner. Mm-hmm. What would that have been, the 50s, 60s,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I can see that's where you could get the best bang for your buck for a lot of people. Because one, like you could almost do like an easy interval method, which even I'm like kind of testing out myself. Okay. It's like I'm only running like 30 miles a week
oh, wow.
for most of the time. So it's... Even when I did my marathon last fall, I ran 2:53 and I averaged, I think, 35.
Really?
For like, I don't know, 14 weeks. And the ascent was a part of that too.
That's wild, dude. Cause I see people doing like 120 mile weeks for a marathon to run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking like ideal world,
yeah,
it's like, I would probably, I mean, I was always a low mileage guy.
That's pretty stout though for 35 miles a week.
Damn. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm kind of almost in some ways trying to test out the whole hybrid. I put my air quotes up. Yeah. Not to the necessarily the degree that Nick Bear's doing, which I'm sure you'd recognize the name. But
I have an idea. Yeah. It's the Austin guy, right?
Yeah. I want to, that's a whole nother topic. That would be a fun podcast. But I kind of want to test the waters, which is part of the reason why I'm doing the track races. Because it's like part of the year, then literally all those things would naturally, low mileage, power training. Like right now, I'm actually physically trying to gain muscle too.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, but I've probably 3 pounds in right now. And that's I'm just basically testing it out. Cause I think there's a lot of like fallacies or whatever word you want to use and like how much muscle you can have
yeah.
relative to what you're trying to do. It's like, I'm not running 14 flat.
Right.
You know? So anyway, that's a whole, we don't need to get into that, but
interesting though. We might have to have that for round two. Yeah.
Yeah. That would actually, it'd be fun. I mean, you just I'm assuming you only have these two mics.
Oh, we can have another setup because I really want to have more. Yeah. Like a group.
This would be cool to get Sean on.
Exactly.
Especially one to have the physical therapist mindset. But like I said earlier, he has a very similar strength and conditioning approach to me.
Yeah.
He's just going at about it differently with people. But, as far as who comes in anyway, I think there's a lot to talk about with that, but I think most people, because of how much time they have, how much life is hitting them, what have you, we're distracted. I think our brains are like
overloaded, man.
Just way overloaded. I'm working on that. I mean, I literally have a minimalist app that like it's black like this.
Dude, I like that.
You know,
never done something like that.
Like I just did it like 3 months ago and it's like, here's your apps, you know, it's like, yeah, when you click into them. You know, it's normal, but yeah. like I'm trying to do all these like little things so that I'm not like immediately on my phone. But anyway, it's just, you know, we went to 2020, people went to work from home, people are sitting more, yada, yada, yada. But I think people could use a lot of short burst work, mm-hmm. not like the way that's the CrossFit world, no offense to CrossFitters, but, there was a push when the running CrossFit crossover it's like happened.
A world collided.
Yeah. And like there was a couple of people that they had a lot of good knowledge. Like there's, what was his name? Brian McKenzie was one. I liked his stuff, but only up to a point. Like he was literally training people for the marathon and they barely were running.
Right.
And it was like, there's, I mean, it was like 15, miles a week. They barely had any long runs. It was a lot of sprint where it was all the Metcon crap. Metcons make me want to throw something through a window. Like, it's like once in a while, sure.
Yeah.
But like, you don't need to do that 3 days a week and you're not going to get better at running in almost all ways. No offense to anybody. It's like maybe little bursts here and there, but it's like, you got to run.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's my little plug there, but
I'm with you on that.
but I don't mean that to sound contradicting, because I just said like short burst stuff, and that's in a lot of ways what that would be. But I mean like in running intervals,
tangible workouts,
literally threshold intervals where it's like you literally could do 400s, or for some people that, let's say your average pace is 10, 11 minutes per mile for your easy runs. Well, then 400s would actually be, you know, 2.5 minutes. Or two and a quarter, or 240, or so, whatever it is. And so it's like, that's a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
And you needed probably at least a minute, especially somebody in that category, for recovery. But anyway, it's like stuff like that. I don't think people do enough. It's very, you know, oh, I need my long run. I need my normal day runs and stuff. And there's not enough like strides. There's not enough hill sprints.
Yep.
And if you're also not lifting, and you're also not doing like any of those kind of intervals, it's just kind of random. There's like three or four chunks of your training that are never being
touched. Yeah. Dude, this is like, I'm so happy you said this, because this is like the biggest problem that I have with so many trail runners. They're just going out there. I mean,
they just go run.
And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, I get it. But if you want to, if you're trying to be competitive, or if you're trying to hit a PR, if you're trying to do, you know, get ready for a race, there are so many things that you have to touch on. It can't just be all aerobic. There's so many systems.
Yeah. Zone two, man. Yeah. If I hear zone two to the degree, like, I have a roommate that's a big trail guy. And then I just, my research and other people I've listened to, other trail, but like if people talk about zone two, the way they do, I'm going to throw up. Like, it's like, yes, it's important.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not important.
It's like, you got to do it. And yes, naturally trail, we're here at 6,000 feet within like a small chunk of time. We could be at 7 or 8. Yes. Your heart rate's going to be a little bit different. In some cases, a lot, depending on your fitness level. Yeah. You do have to pay attention to that. And sometimes just going up our trail at an easy pace end up getting up to 160, 70 beats per minute type thing. So it's like, there is something to just going out and running relative to just if you're just training for a 5K or something and you're on the flat MVP ground over here or just out in your neighborhood. But still, it's like you have to work the zones.
Exactly.
And not to overhype heart rate. I'm not even a huge heart rate guy, but it's like it does tell you stuff. So you gotta
doesn't look. Lie.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's right there. Like if you're at 190 randomly running up, well, maybe you need to change the intervals. Distance,
moment to dial it back.
Time, even though you think you're going slow, it's like, well, you also are going up a mountain. So,
it's true.
But I totally agree with you though. Like, I've only been doing trail running for a couple of years, so I don't want to sound like expert.
No.
But if you take all the things I've learned in every other area,
and apply
it all applies. It's just you just got to take you are going to spike your heart rate going uphill for obvious reasons. So it's like if you take that into account and you pay attention just enough, that's really the only element. I would argue, unless somebody has like terrible ankle strength or something, or like that's just physical limitation. It's like, that's probably all you need to change or pay attention to.
Yeah.
But people just aren't doing enough.
No, a lot of it's just
like zone fours, you know, that kind of stuff. And zone five is not even a conversation for most people.
One of the things and we can get into this in the next episode, cause I just have so many questions for you, but like, it's like, so as a professional in the trail running space, it's just interesting to me because you are very dialed and you come from this cross country track background, and our sport's starting to become more professionalized now.
Yeah.
And I just think there's interesting. So much to apply from your world that we can bring into our world so that not only can we make it more professional, but just so we can get more dialed and you'll start to see more PRs. You'll start to see more course records go down. So I don't know.
Well, I hope I am not butchering his name. It's Jake Walmsley, right?
Jim.
Okay. So he's a great example.
Yeah.
Like he came from, or Joe Gray.
Joe. Joseph. Joe's
phenomenal
fucking
example.
Stud. Yeah.
Like one, he's obviously done incredible things in the trail world, but he was in the trials for the steeple.
Talk about Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I hope that's right. I'm pretty sure that's right.
It's a good question.
I want to say 08.
All I know is he ran at Oklahoma State.
He was good. Yeah. That was when Oklahoma State, or not to say when, like as if they're not good anymore, but they were good.
Yeah.
And
well, with him, any team's good.
Yeah. And like Walmsley was, our Rust Buster course for UCCS down at MVP, when we used to do the 6K, he has the old record.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't remember what it is, but I mean, and you look at what he's doing at the trail scene. It's like, these are perfect examples. Like imagine if even half the depth of the cross country track world
came
to trail.
Well, we've got this like feeder program now. Shout out to Andy Wacker. He's got this thing called the Trail Team. Wacker,
that's the other guy I was saying. I couldn't think.
Another stud.
He's a stud.
But he's basically created like a small feeder program where he selects six athletes out from NCAA programs to try and transition them out of, you know, as they really grow and evolve in their perspective distances. As they leave the NCAA into the trail world, and he's helping them get contracts. He's helping them kind of just find their way. And that's what we need. That's how American trail running just grows into potentially an Olympic sport. Who knows, man? You know? Like,
Yeah. I think it's cool that he's doing that. I didn't know it was to that degree, but that's, I even just think the post-college world in general, like this is actually a slight reason why I'm even talking to Sean tonight. Cause I'm trying to like collaborate with different people in town because I would like to make a post-college sub-elite group.
Okay.
And anyway, this crossover with trail stuff too is something it's in my mind because there's so much low-hanging fruit for somebody that's like a pretty solid college runner.
Absolutely.
Guys and girls. I mean, there's this like open avenue. And I don't mean that to sound like, oh, trail running.
No, like nobody's it's fast,
like,
but
it's no, like, no, I mean, there's like right. some of the stuff that people have done on trails is like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Like you, God, it's 106 miles. Like, how did you, okay, that's ridiculous. You know, good for you. Or like the, you know, 2 hour ascent. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You do you, man. I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. You know,
well, actually,
depth is where
we need more depth. And that's what I was kind of alluding to with the professionalization and bringing people over. Now, the one thing I wanted to hit on too, because you've got some speed, man, and I didn't know that. So, And, you know, you've ran the ascent twice, you said?
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Okay. Like, are you, like, what are you targeting for an ascent time for this year? And, like, what's your training stuff looking like?
The main thing, like, 2 years ago, I was just getting back into running. And so it was like, I'm going to go do this. And I kind of used it as a way to do something different and not be on the roads and, like, enjoy running in a different way. And I was like, I'm just going to do this. I'll see how close to 3 hours I can get.
Okay.
I had my calves like cramped up at my right after bar camp.
Yeah. It's a terrible spot.
I could not run the second half of the race. And I went like 3:20 and change.
Okay.
And I was like really pissed. And I was like destroyed when I got to the top, even though I couldn't run. I was like, I tried running like 45 times and I'd get like 10 feet and my calves would cramp. So I learned about that. And then this last year I went 3:10.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a little surprised. I felt pretty solid. I had stomach issues that day, but it was like, my training was a lot better. So I was like, I thought I would naturally run like 3:05 or faster,
okay,
but it was still like, you know, 35 miles a week or so.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a couple like 40 mile weeks, but my average was about that. So now it's still the same goal. I want to break 3.
Okay.
And then I don't know. The last like few months, the fire in me is like come back. Like this was just kind of like, hey, I'm just going to do this stuff, have fun. Yeah, I'll go run an 800, woo, you know. But like, I was looking at it like I like training, just like anybody would do a CrossFit class or Orange Theory or just go to a run group because they like it.
Yeah,
and that's how I was looking at it. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm still healthy, and I keep kind of just bumping up a little bit more and a little bit more. So it's like the trail thing is like completely, I don't know.
It's a new world, dude. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying.
You can't quantify like almost any of it.
Well, every route's different. You know? You never know like what you're going
to. Yeah. It's only the same race that you can quantify anything. And obviously the ascent's a pretty fun one to do that. But like, I don't know what I'm going to do during the Pikes Peak 50K.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to get to too, is like, that's your first kind of like ultra, right?
Yeah.
Oh shit. All right.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I asked a couple friends that have done it. I'm like, I looked at the times and I'm like, dude, talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm seeing 6 hours, 5.5. Obviously, you have to go up Mount Rosa.
Is that you go up to Rosa?
I'm pretty sure it's the peak. Don't quote me on that, but
yeah. It's like 11,000 feet or something like that.
The graph literally is 18 miles, like slowly up, and then you have 13 down.
Okay.
So I'll get an idea of what it's like to kind of do the Pikes Peak marathon.
Yeah.
Like you come down a half marathon back.
Yeah.
And I always said that is just nuts.
Terrible.
But then I'm about to do this, so I don't know. So yeah, but this last weekend I ran a 2:10 800.
Okay. Damn, dude.
I'd like to, like, that's a whole nother world I haven't even realized. Like, I've just been doing this for me and stuff, and there was people at that meet, man. It was USATF Masters race. There was a 6-year-old woman who ran 2:29.
What?
There was a 50-year-old guy that ran 2 flat.
Dude, there's some athletes in the state.
It was like, it was in Chicago, so it was national one.
Yeah.
But it was like, dude, like some of these times I was like, this is like making me look at this differently.
Yeah.
So some of this, like these preconceived notions of kind of like, oh, you hit a certain time,
certain age,
like you're 30 something.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't run fast anymore. It's like, well, kinda.
Yeah.
Like whatever I could have done if everything had been perfect my entire life. And I was like that D1 guy that, you know, oh my God, he just all American 12 times. You know, if I was that dude, sure, I probably would have ran like, you know, 150 something and 4:08, you know, but because I never did that, we don't really know what the number is.
It's true.
So you can't really say that you can't get faster.
You can't define,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm going through something similar, more mental in a lot of ways. Like I just turned 33 and I'm starting to wonder. It's more so just the wondering part. I don't feel any different. I keep getting fitter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lowering my times. I'm getting faster, and I haven't seen a performance decline from a racing perspective or like PR perspective or anything like that. And training seems great. I just wonder, I'm 33 years old. Okay. I think the reason the mentally thing is for me on this podcast, I'm interviewing a bunch of like 20 somethings.
Yeah.
And these guys are young killers. And, you know, I'm like, damn, I'm the old man here now. Like, this is a weird place. It's a weird place to be in.
Yeah.
So you start to mentally think about it. I'm like, okay, as I get older, obviously we all know there's a decline, and sometimes people just hit the wall, you know, and 1 year you show up for your season, even though, you know, you could be doing everything correctly, and then you start to see a performance drop off.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of different in a lot of people. So I don't know. It's got me stressed out. I don't know why.
I think about it. I understand.
Often.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like as long as you gotta look at your scenario.
Yeah.
And be able to have another pair of eyes and ears on it to kind of like, okay, look at what I've done in my life.
Yep.
And if you're somebody that's like, you didn't run until you're 51, you have no idea.
Yeah. Tatum is? He's a Colorado Springs guy.
He's
in his 60s.
So.
He's a fucking stud, man. That guy's in his 60s and like crushes people.
Does he do trail stuff?
He's a trail runner. I think he's coached by David Roche. Shout out to David Roche. But like, man. He's like the pillar in Colorado Springs that I look at for like longevity.
Okay.
And I'm just like, okay, this guy can do this in the 60s. I feel like I can do this into my, I've got 20 something, 30 something years left, you know?
Well, for you and everybody listening, there's something I've been learning the last few years. The stuff I just referenced with the Masters races and stuff. I mean, these are like, people are putting on spikes in their 70s and stuff. And that's almost weird.
It's inspiring.
But it's like, to me, it's like, I mean, I was totally inspired when I did this, but trails is a funny one too, because there's so many variables that you can't, like the track is a track. It's literally like, here's a mile.
Figure it out.
There it is, man. It's pretty plain and simple. You can't do anything. You can't cheat. You know, you're either running more feet or you run the exact mile, you know? So trails, there's so much room for growth that you can't really quantify well. And because of what we just said with the competition, we don't have as much to compare to.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, you can look at the top people like, oh, I don't remember his name. Remy.
Yeah. Remy Benet.
It's like, obviously
he's an outlier.
And then there's people like Joe Gray's done amazing stuff. Yep. And there's like, you know, whatever names you want to say. I mean, there's Allie Mack from the women's side.
Yeah.
Allie's, stuff like that.
Allie's dominant. Yeah.
So it's like, there's these people and yes, let's use them. Here's what like Joe did for like, blah, blah, blah years. Pretty incredible. But it also, the track and some of the shorter distances are so what's the word I'm looking for? Exposing.
Yep.
And I think that's also why people don't do it after a certain age. Most of it's because of opportunity, which I'm kind of excited about. I'd like to make a track scene in the city, which is the main reason why I'm talking to Sean tonight. Yeah. He doesn't know that, but
this will come out after.
Yeah. but that's, we don't need to get into that, but the trail scene is funny because of the potential, like you take the ascent. I thought about this for like days after my second one. I was up running, you know, pretty well, but I mean, I was 112th or something, right? Like, so there's like a lot of room for improvement, but it was only my second one. It's only my second trail race. I was only running 30 something miles a week. So I'm looking at that and going, well, I could kind of get faster at this for a long time.
Absolutely.
And then this thought popped in my mind. I was like, at like 2 miles to go, the guy that was near me was, I think, over 60.
Wow. That could have been Mark Tatum.
Yeah, me. And honestly, I don't know. Like, there was this moment where all of a sudden I was like, that guy wasn't my age, yeah. You know? And I think I beat him by like a minute or something.
Okay.
But like, so we could look back at the
yeah, days, yeah,
but I just, stats. That's what stuck with me.
Okay.
And it's like, I was 100 and something place. It's not like I ran 240, yeah. But like, still it's not slouching.
Yeah.
And like this guy was near me and I'm like, okay, let's think about this scientifically for a second. Track, we're talking more speed. That's going to be most people's limiting factor. Whereas this is going to be aerobic development.
Yep.
And what can you keep developing?
The aerobic system, yeah.
Zone for,
two.
For
zone
like,
two.
Yeah, here comes the zone two, the demons. They're coming out of the woodwork. I'm saying this simplistically, but you could, like, even Remy ran what, 8.5 or 9 minute pace for the average or whatever it comes out to be.
I think it was, yeah.
Like, so it's like, we know that that's incredible relative to what that is,
right?
But that's still not fast running. Right. That's a fast ascent.
Right.
It's like still something like, I will not run 2 hours. Right. What, 4, 5, 8 people in the history of this will probably ever do that. So it's like, kudos, man, you know, but even if, let's say you ran, try to aim for like 245 or 240, whatever pace that comes out to be, 10 something.
Yeah.
So think about from an aerobic standpoint, that can continue to be developed and you can get the technical pieces down. You can do the 3-2-1 thing.
That's what I was going to say.
Till the cows come home. Yeah,
get the altitude.
You know, and you like do those things. It's like, that's not the same as just going out and running.
Yeah.
And so to the age thing, to close that whole rant, it's like, we might be able to get good at the ascent until we're 50, 60, 70.
Yeah.
Just even saying the name, the word 70, right? It's like, I'm sorry, yeah. What did he say? But it's like, but how can you quantify it?
We don't know.
If you stay healthy, the running industry hasn't done enough or hasn't had enough time under the strength training plyometric realm.
Yep. No, you could definitely see it. I mean, I think there's testament to this. I think you'll start to see more master's records go down in the next few years. Absolutely. Yes. And that'll be our telltale, you know, our indicator from that. But
yeah.
I agree, man. I'm excited for.
I am too.
Yeah.
It gave me a new fire because I used to have a bad relationship with time.
Okay.
Like,
it makes sense.
Like, yeah. I remember asking my dad, he was a big runner. I think I was like early 20s. I think I was still in college. And I asked him, like, what does it feel like when you get to that point and you know almost inevitably you just cross the line to where, oh, I'm never going to PR again.
Yeah. It's terrifying, dude.
And he said, it's tough, but he's like, the thing to always hold to yourself is it always feels the same. Like the 5K is always going to be the 5K.
Right.
And like, yes, it'll take you longer and blah, blah, blah.
But it's still going to
like,
hurt.
It's still the same hurt. It's like if you go out and do a mile, that burn in your lungs is always going to feel the same if you're putting in the same effort.
Gotcha.
And it at the time I was like, I was young enough to where I was like, okay, I obviously cognitively know what he means, but like, oh dude, that still got a blow.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get that out of my head. We're talking like 15 years went by or something. Now I see it differently. And now I look at this and it's like, well, not only have I not done much in trails, but all this other stuff we just talked about, masters. And it's like, you know, I think people have had too limited of a mindset.
Big time.
We've looked at pros where it's like, yeah, basketball players probably gonna be done at 35.
Yeah,
some are making it. LeBron's doing some crazy stuff.
Well, like, you know, well, like, when I don't know. I just started in the last few months. I got into UFC. Like, I really like fighting. I don't know why, but anyway, you see guys that like make championship level. You know, they become the champion of their division. Nobody's there after 35. You get knocked out and then it's over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you, it seems to be the magic number. No one's defending the title over 35. It's interesting because I think running goes against all of that. Like, we can
get, yeah,
to, you know, so.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I mean, like, there's so much to say, but I just,
you can draw from other sports. Yeah, yeah.
I just, when you look at the other sports, it's like, well, okay, we'll take the top person in everything. Well, let's take Galen Rupp.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a year and a half or a year and a quarter older than me.
Okay.
And it's like, we don't know what he's going to do. He's probably close to retiring. Centrowitz just announced he's probably going to retire after this season.
Wow. Okay.
I think he's exactly my age. Anyway, obviously these are top people medaled in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That we're talking literally, I mean, like up to this point, you could say Galen's the best distance runner in America.
Easily.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously there's different things, Ryan Hall and the marathon, yeah, and all that stuff, but like enough to make our point. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so that makes sense. We're literally talking, and we're, and let's just call it what it is. There's people that are doping.
Yeah.
So whether that's him or not, that's what you're fighting against.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about. Okay. You know, so for the like 99% of people, it's like, you're not fighting against that clock,
right,
the same way. Now your life circumstances come into play. Like, I'm assuming at some point I'll get married and have kids. That obviously adds an element.
It's going to make you a little more tired.
You know, like, you're going to have less sleep and this, that, and the other. So it's like, always, I mean, to many things we said today, always look at your own situation and try to be realistic with what you can handle, what training load you can handle, and this, that, and the other. But try not to look at Father Time as like this, you know, demonic like force that's going to like ruin your wife. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's coming, but like, I think we've been so narrow-minded as a society for so long, as well as in the running industry, and where it's just like, oh, just run a lot and stuff. And it's like, well, that's why people are slowing down at 30 something.
Right.
Because when you don't work on your joints and power and all that stuff, well, yeah, you're going to feel like creaky.
Yeah.
And if you eat like crap,
you're really going to feel like shit.
You know, so anyway, like we could, I don't want to go into that again. We can do that another time or something, yeah, but like that,
we'll have round two.
I think that definitely is something that's overlooked, and
yeah,
you are seeing in the pro sports still to finish out that thought, there are people that do pull it off.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaromir Jagr in hockey, I'm a big hockey fan. He's 50 something.
Yeah.
And he's still,
it's an animal.
Like, he just started talking again to an NHL team.
Wait, wasn't he was on the Panthers or
Penguins. But yes,
he
Panthers.
Yeah, he wasn't. This is when I lived in South Florida. Yes. He was in the Panthers. Yeah,
yeah. Back, yeah, I watched him play one time against the Wings a few years ago. But I mean, he has, it's pretty remarkable, and it's easy to overlook.
Yeah.
But Gordie Howe did that. He was 51 or 2 when he played in his last All-Star game.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know, and so it's like, yes, these are anomaly scenarios, but that's already at the level that can
happen. Yeah.
That just can't happen.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude.
Anyway.
Dude, on that note, let's start winding down. Do you want to plug anything? Anything you want? Let's plug the business. Let's plug your socials.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
So on the note that I mentioned earlier, as far as runners go, I have been slowly implementing small group strength classes for runners. I just recently worked at, I did a free night at the Colorado Running Company, and I'm going to be working with them a little bit more regularly. We're trying to figure that out.
Cool.
But as far as classes and things go on one-on-ones, like if you're looking for, anything from like, hey, I want to qualify for Boston, to like, hey, you kind of sparked something with this whole speed thing, and I've never lifted a weight and stuff like that, I would say start the process now, come in, do an assessment with me, and whatever that looks like for that person. But I work out of a CrossFit gym near Old Colorado City. It's called Progressive Fitness. I just rent my own space there. We got a few trainers, and it's a great space, great place to be. It's near some trails too. So
sweet.
It's not far from Red Rock Open Space.
Okay.
But yeah, that's one of the main things I'm trying to add this year. So yeah.
Cool. And yeah. Where can people find you on social media?
The best place would be Instagram. It's Coach Jeff W. Wilson. That's, I'd say 80-90% of the stuff I post on there is running stuff. And then some of the personal crossovers, me running anyway. So, sweet. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Dude, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. I cannot wait for round two already.
Yeah, me too, man.
I got to get Sean in here. I'm going to get a bigger setup and I got some stuff planned.
Yeah, cool. So, I'm excited for that.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
What'd you guys think? I told you it was an absolute banger of a conversation. Like I said, Jeff is a good dude and he has an absolutely encyclopedic knowledge. Really interesting conversation. Before we leave, I just want to go ahead and give him a little bit of a shout out and get some plugs as well. If you head on over to his Instagram is actually Coach Jeff W. Wilson. That's going to be Coach, COACH, Jeff, JEFF, W, and then Wilson, WILSON. Go ahead and find him on Instagram. And also, don't forget to head on over to his practice, his personal training business. That's going to be totalbodyrunning.com. And if you guys like this episode, go ahead and give him a follow. Send him a DM. If you're interested in working with him, reach out to him, but let him know if you like the episode. We will definitely be having a lot more conversations with Jeff as well. I think he's pretty close with Sean Rimmer. So we're going to be having some interesting convos from the strength and conditioning as well as the PT side as we progress forward and have some more conversations in the future. So I'm really looking forward to those. Thanks again, Jeff, for being on. And guys, hope you enjoyed this one, the Steep Stuff Podcast, episode 6. Thank you.